Welcome to episode 11 of the Trendsetters Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Kay. Today, I'm super excited to have on Eli Soans and Matt Halper, who you most likely know under the name Two Friends, the Los Angeles-based American DJ producer duo. If you're under the age of 25, you most likely know them from their big booty mixes, which are played nationwide at colleges. They're hour-long mixes of different songs from the year and from the past. They're amazing. They just came out with Big Booty Mix 16, which you can certainly check out. In this interview, we talk about how they started their journey with music in high school, then kept their passions alive while they went to Vanderbilt and Stanford, and then their journey since they graduated from turning it from a hobby to a real business and career. They are about to go on their Camp Super Dope tour, which starts off in Austin on January 16th. Then they'll be in New York January 31st and February 1st, along with pretty much every city in America. I really enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys do as well. Welcome to episode 11 of the podcast. I'm super excited to have on Eli Soans and Matt Halper from Two Friends. Thanks so much for coming on today, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
So real quick, just a quick intro on you guys besides the initial intro I gave. Obviously, you guys are the two friends that compose Two Friends, the duo that I guess most notably, at least on my end and every other college kid in America, are the producers of the big booty mixes that have become, I'd say, relatively viral on any college campus or party. But can you give everyone a little bit of a background that's longer in terms of how far back you guys go? Obviously, you guys met in middle school or high school, I believe, and you each went to college, which I definitely want to talk about. But sort of the background to get to where we are today.
Yes. So I'm Eli. I don't know if hopefully our voices are distinct enough.
Matt here.
So I grew up in LA my whole life. Matt came over a little bit later when he was like 9 or 10. And we went to middle school in LA together and high school. And for the majority of that, we honestly weren't really doing music together. We each kind of dabbled a little bit individually. Matt was in the choir and played guitar. And I had played a little clarinet for a couple of years. And then kind of started getting involved in like mashups and very basic DJing. But so for most of middle school and high school, we were just friends, you know, typical doing middle school and high school friends stuff together. We had a really solid group of 8 or so guys that were always hanging out and doing sleepovers and sports and all the classic stuff. And then it wasn't until pretty much the very, very end of high school where we were kind of not bored, but kind of just had more free time just because we had gotten into colleges and sports were over and school wasn't, you know, second semester, senior year, classic, like school's not as intense.
Classic, you show up when you need to and decide
exactly.
That you're enjoying yourself.
Exactly. So we were kind of just, you know, we knew obviously that we both had an interest in music and kind of had different skills, I guess. And so it kind of just was something to try out for fun where we went on Google and typed in what software should we get if we want to produce music, and we kind of just went for it. And we didn't really have much of a game plan. You know, we were kind of deciding should we make hip hop beats and send them to rappers, or should we make our own stuff and, you know, kind of go more in the EDM electronic music route. But yeah, I mean, we weren't thinking too far ahead. We were kind of just doing
it.
We did have the name. That was important, that we got our name before we ever opened up any type of program.
Totally. And I think that's awesome. Just that, like, such a simple name, but so memorable, too.
Yeah. We were trying so hard to think of other ones.
And then just like during senior year classes, brainstorming.
And then we kind of were just like, you know what? This is too hard. Everything else seems either forced or phony or just weird. So, you know what? We're just two friends. And luckily it stuck. So yeah, so we kind of just, that summer, we were kind of just messing around, trying to learn stuff. And then
we were pretty serious about learning it though. Cause like, you know, music production is definitely takes a while to be able to make anything decent. Like it's probably gotten easier and easier with the availability of certain, you know, sample packs and like just kind of barriers to entry have gone down. But even now, like you really have to put in the time. And I think we were trying to put in the time that summer, and that kind of started at least habit forming for us. like treating it like a full-time thing, even though it obviously wasn't.
But at the same time, we balance that out with, all right, we're about to start college. This isn't like our, you know, means, our only means of income right now. You know, we can kind of.
It was definitely no income.
Oh, no. Well, I'm saying like, we were about to head off to college. So this wasn't like we dropped out of school and we started making music and we're like, you know, we gotta make money. We gotta pay rent. We gotta do blah, blah, blah. Like, we had the nice luxury of kind of, like Matt said, you know, yes, you gotta take it seriously. You gotta put in the hours. You gotta, you know, really work at it. But balancing that with, all right, you know, there's a little less pressure because we're about to start school. You know, let's, I think that honestly made it so that like we could take our time and do things. Not that we did everything perfectly, obviously, but like, you know, do things the right way of not jumping at things just because someone's going to pay you a little bit, but we could kind of take a step back and be like, you know what? We're not really going to like be full throttle until probably 4 years after, you know, after we finish college. So during college, let's do things the right way. Let's learn as much as we can. Let's set up all the foundation. Let's set up our team around us. Let's build that initial fan base. And then that way, 4 years later, when we graduate college, we'll hit the ground running and we will.
I think, I don't know if that was discussed blatantly or just kind of like
assumed.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was the type of thing that Eli said where it's basically any decisions we were making were like not short term benefiting, more anything that, you know, would benefit the long term.
100%. And one thing I want to definitely dive in on is the reasons of, you started this in high school, you did go to college, and that's sort of the key I want to lock in on, because out of all of my close business friends, many of whom have been on the podcast, almost none of them went to school. They all finished in high school and dove in on their business and that's been their path and they're enjoying them. They're doing well. I chose to balance both. So I'm running my business, but I'm also still in school. And it's definitely two different experiences. I'd love to hear more about why you guys decided to do the way you did. You went to, you guys both went to school, to Vandy and to Stanford, correct me if I'm wrong, but what were the sort of reasons behind going to school? Was it that you wanted to make sure you had that balance? Was it you didn't feel you were ready to go all in? And then sort of what were the key things that you learned on how to balance and keep both things up while you were in school, especially at such a competitive and difficult college as you were?
Well, I would say to answer your first question in terms of like the decision to make music or school, I just don't even think it was in the cards at first. Like that would be like, let's just say your parents really wanted you to go to college. All your friends were going to college. You were working hard in high school throughout all of school to go to college. That was the plan. And then you picked up essentially a music program a week before college and you told your parents, oh, I'm not going.
Never mind about all that work.
Yeah. It just wasn't, it just, maybe if we were working on music for like 4 years before, you know, all throughout high school, but it was a couple months before. So it would have been like, I think premature for sure. So that's kind of why we went to school. We were going to school anyway. And then I think being at school, of course, it's a completely different balance. I think A, you know, you obviously have way less time than, you know, if you're doing it full time. But on the flip side, if you're doing it full time, you have a certain type of pressure. I guess it mostly leans on a financial pressure immediately. But during school for us, we could, you know, kind of, we didn't really need to make money through music. You know, we were kind of like looking at it, as Eli was saying, the long game and like, you know, learning, because it's, music production is not something you pick up in a year, you know? It's not something you pick up in two either. It really takes a long time. So it was a good opportunity for us to A, learn about music making, B, learn how to like build a brand, and then it gave us time to do that.
I think there was kind of a turning point around halfway through, and not that it was anything even close to like an overnight turning point, but just kind of a mindset of, you know, like Matt said, like it was not in the cards at all of like, we're going to skip school and only do music. So the first couple of years, we're like, all right, we are going to college and this music thing, we're going to take it seriously and we're going to work at it. But it's kind of like, you know, we're doing it while we're in school. Halfway through, kind of flipped a little bit of like, all right, music is now like kind of surpassed that like school. Not, you know, we still got to, you know, still try our best and like, let's graduate, let's get our degree. But like, it kind of flipped of like what the priority, I guess, was.
To me, it didn't flip the priority. I think the whole time, and I think this is anyone doing something entrepreneurial during school, is you have to like nail this really tough balance of whatever your entrepreneurial activity is. For us, that was obviously music. Then school, you have to balance that. And then like social wise, you have to balance that. So I think it didn't necessarily flip in my mind of like what my priority is during school. But I did think that maybe halfway, maybe even before halfway, I was like, okay, I want to do whatever we can to do this after school. So, you know, maybe that locked in the priority that I'm not going to let music.
Yeah, you know, maybe priority isn't the best word. More about what we kind of just thought was realistic. Like, I don't know about you, but, you know, the summer before college, we had spent a few months on, like, I obviously wanted to make right. my career, no, but I did not. If someone said, what are you going to do? Like,
it had no promises.
Right. Like, we made $0. We had a handful of people listening online. We had no one offering us gigs or stuff. So it was like, it was fun and we wanted to take it seriously. And then I think, yeah, so halfway was when like, all right, now we've kind of shown that this actually is not a pipe dream anymore. This is like,
this is a reality.
This is real. Like, we're getting the offers, we're getting the inquiries for managers and agents, and so way more people are listening.
When you started getting offers and starting to get real money offers and gigs, is that when you guys made the switch, like, oh wow, this could be our career? Like, obviously you guys went to incredible schools. Did you ever have the thought of, hey, I'm going to graduate and get a real job? Did you ever look at jobs? Or did you always have this idea, even if it wasn't a reality yet, that this was the path you were going to go on once you guys graduated in 2014, 15?
Yeah, 2015. So I think that like we both had summer internships between freshman year and sophomore year. But besides that, we didn't get internships, right?
Yeah, no, we did like practice mode of...
So if I guess, you know, actions speak louder than words. So I guess at that point, we wanted to do it full time. Because during those summers between sophomore, junior, and senior, or I guess senior is real life, but between those other two summers, we were doing it full time. Like every day we'd go to my basement and work while all our other friends were in their summer internships and stuff in LA.
And we always look back on that and think that was really helpful and important, just because that just established kind of our workflow and kind of showing ourselves and, you know, to a smaller degree, like our parents and our friends, like, this is what it would look like. We are disciplined enough. We will show up at the studio, work a full day, be productive. You know, we're not just lollygagging and hanging out at the beach and putting in 30 minutes of a music idea. Like you know, we're serious about this. And so I think by the time it got to like senior year, when other people were looking for jobs, that we were pretty much set. Like, and don't get us wrong. Like, we still were making pretty much $0. All throughout college, pretty much $0. I mean, we would do a few shows, but then the expenses would kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So you're breaking even pretty much.
Yeah. And then even that first full year after college, we made very, very, very little money. But that was like, again, we kind of had the luxury of taking our time and realizing, like, you know, it's focused on the long term. So we kind of gave ourselves, not that we did this explicitly, but we kind of thought like, all right, we graduated. If we do this for a few years, whether that's two or three or whatever, and we still are literally making $0 and there's no promise, then okay, you know what? Like, we have our college degrees. It's fun while it lasted. Probably go back and like, you know, think of some other options. But luckily, you know, around a year after college, it kind of really picked up steam. And then it got to the point where like, all right, now we've kind of surpassed those other opportunity costs. And like, this actually is, not only is this what we want to do, but luckily, this is actually, you know, the best option for us now.
Yeah.
100%. I think it's interesting just to look at, it's the same common theme for anyone I've ever interviewed or talked to who's reached success in their industry. It's that everyone thinks that, you know, there's an overnight success, but what they don't see is like the 10 years prior to that overnight success and how close people come to giving up. And it's the people that continue on that tend to reach success, because some people will quit right before that sort of flip switches. So did you guys have any of those doubts? Obviously, you said you'd see if it worked for a couple of years, but what would be your advice to people out there that are trying to get in, whether it be the music industry or the business industry, that it's been a year, 2 years, 3 years. They're not making money. They're passionate about it. But obviously, you don't want to be an idiot and just do something for 30 years and it never works. And you just obviously are like, it's eventually going to work. Like, obviously, there's a time where it didn't gain traction. It didn't work. But there's also, everyone goes through the same process. So what was your guys' thinking on that?
Yeah, I think there's a huge overlap between pretty much any industry, as if you want to call it that. Like, I think the biggest thing is, for us, it's been very helpful having two people, just because you can lean on each other in harder situations, in good situations, whatever. But something, and this is so far from something I've mastered, but I think two things. One, having thick skin is huge. Because in the beginning, no one cares at all. In fact, everyone, it almost feels like people are rooting against you because you're trying to do something different.
Totally.
And then two, like, you got to have patience. You know, if you think something's going to happen quick and that's what your expectations are, then you are going to quit when it doesn't, you know? But if you think, okay, this might take a while and I'm ready to put in the work, I think then you could, you know, persevere through it because nothing's quick. Very, very, very few things happen quickly. And then three, I guess, the last thing is you got to enjoy what you're doing because it takes so long. So, you know, willpower is not going to be what's going to bring you to success because at a certain point, you know, it's going to run out. So it really has to be something that you like doing.
Yeah, for sure. I think if there's no passion there, then you're literally just going after. I read this thing, I think I read it on Twitter, but it was from an investor. And he said the number one thing they tell their founders is make sure you're doing something you're passionate about. Because a lot of times somebody will start a startup and 10 years in, it may not have gained traction and they're not passionate about it. And literally you're going for something that you have no interest in. But if you're doing something that you love, you're enjoying it and you get to work on it, which obviously seems like it's a huge thing for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you don't like it, your body's not going to let you do it for 8 years, 10 years, grinding that hard, you know?
Yeah, those long nights aren't going to be worth it if you could care less about the end goal and what you're sort of going for.
Exactly.
So a little bit of a shift. I want to talk about the actual music you guys put out. I listened to it. My friends listened to it. So that's why I was so excited to have you guys on. But what was sort of your guys' mindset? I mean, tons of people do remixes, tons of people do EDM, but your guys' strategy and content stands out. What was your strategy sort of going into it? Obviously, you guys are on what, Mix 16 just came out?
Yeah, Volume 16 of the Big Booty Mixes just came out. I mean, going back to the beginning, I think we really wanted to kind of like not box ourselves in, not limit ourselves to one thing. And we kind of found it was fun to kind of have a hand in different lanes. So, you know, obviously the original music is huge for us, and then wanted to remix songs, and then these mixes kind of took a life of their own. And we never wanted to just do one thing and kind of do, you know, beat it to death. So I think that was the Big Booty Mixes started as a way to kind of, like, you know, I mentioned in high school I was messing around with mashups. And then as we kind of transition to the EDM world and we're doing more of the original productions and the remixes, we thought that the mixes could be a cool way to still kind of fit in our world, but, you know, hopefully be a little unique and feel like our style. And yeah, I mean, to be totally honest, they kind of just took a life of their own more than we expected they would. And they kind of just became like, you know, huge for colleges and tailgates and people working out and things like that. And that's something where, like, it's an example of something where we actually don't make any money directly off of it versus, like, you know, when you have an original song and you put it on Spotify, you get, you know, you collect the royalty money. That this, because, you know, because it's a mix of a lot of people's other stuff, we're not making any money from it, but it's one of those things where, you know,
it's a visibility thing.
Yeah, you build your foundation, you build the fan base, and then now, you know, now we hit them with the other music, we hit them with the shows, we hit them with the whole two friends experience, I guess. And so, yeah, I think that's been something. Matt kind of alluded to this as talking about how, you know, we consider ourselves pretty entrepreneurial, and we kind of, not only do we enjoy it, but we also see how important it is to kind of have a hand in all the different areas of our brand, you know, so obviously music is the number one priority, and that's kind of our product. But, you know, we, from the start, we've really emphasized our brand and social media and, you know, like I said, building our team and making content and kind of just, you know, trying to, we control our own destiny to, you know, for the majority of things. So we like, we always want to go as far as we can and not just do the bare minimum yeah. that, you know, other people.
And also I think it's important, you know, as you kind of were mentioning, like how to stick out from the crowd. And I think it kind of alludes to the whole, you know, if you're looking down the line 10 years, if you're looking down the line 10 years and you have like the most specific brand goal and everything, but it's really like, it's not like a company brand. It's really yourself, like your own brand, but it really isn't you at all. In 10 years, it's just not going to feel, it's just not you. So it's going to feel fake. It's going to feel phony.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think we're,
so for us, I think one of our things has been trying to be super real in terms of like, this is how we talk to our friends. Like our captions are how we'd, you know, text our, you know, girlfriends, friends, whatever. So it's almost just an extension of ourselves in a lot of ways, which I think people have gravitated to because it's like, you know, a little more approachable. And I think that's how we try to stick out, you know, by almost being more normal in a way, hard to describe, like more of your,
yeah, no,
just totally. Like casual, like more of like a friend than more of like a, you know, oh my God, high horse, DJ, cool guy.
Totally. And is your guys, like if you were to look a couple of years out, is your ideal scenario to continue doing, obviously you're doing tours. I definitely want to hit on that. You guys will be in New York at Terminal 5, January 31st and February 1st, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That will be awesome. But is your focus more on tours and original music moving forward? Is it continuing to do the mixes and tying that in? Where's sort of your guys' long-term vision at?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a combination of everything. Like we, you know, the it all kind of feeds the same machine, I guess. Like, you know, when we put out one of the big booty mixes, that helps the touring, that helps the visibility on social media. And then we put out an original song, and then that helps with Spotify, and that helps, you know, get more maybe like the traditional EDM listeners, whereas the big booty mixes might get the people that don't really listen to EDM, but they like hearing all their favorite songs kind of in that format.
And then it goes the other way too. Like
yeah.
shows help introduce people to big booty mixes or introduce people to remixes or originals of ours. So it kind of almost, the more you do of it all feeds itself.
It all ties into each other.
Yeah.
Touring, I mean, right now we're definitely, you know, we're touring at pretty much every weekend, and the tour you mentioned with Terminal 5 on it is going to be our first bus tour. So that one is actually the first time we're going to be on a bus for almost 2 months straight of like, up till now, it's been mostly, you know, we're in the studio Monday to Thursday, Friday, we'll fly somewhere, play Friday night, play Saturday night, fly back home, go back to the studio and kind of do that process.
Roughly. So
this time we'll be actually like on the road, you know, nonstop for a while. But, you know, the tour, like, you know, 30 years from now, do we want to be touring every weekend? Probably not. You know, it's relatively exhausting. But right now, you know, this is, you know, I think it's, you know, obviously on the business side, most of our income is coming from touring, but also that's just a great way to kind of stay, keep your, you know, not stay relevant, I guess, but.
Well, it's just a good way. It's a good way to build the brand organically, easily. Like, you know, people bring friends, yeah. even if you're not a fan, like, and your friend brings you, like, then you're a fan, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's just like, it's almost works like music does, just differently.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, early on in the process with when our agent was explaining, like, it almost sounds like it's too, like, it sounds like it shouldn't be this simple where they say, you know, you got to go to a city. If it's the first time you're at your city, you know, maybe don't, you take a little pay cut, but you go and you do a small venue. Then the next time you're going to go, you're going to get more money and more people are going to come. Then you go and more money, more people are going to come. And it sounds like too simple to work. But like that's what we've seen, and it's kind of cool that, you know, we'll go 3 years ago we went to a city and, you know, it was fine, whatever, but our goal is always, you know, let's put on the best possible show, let's stick around after the show and say hi to everyone, and, you know, let's promote the show, let's do everything we can. And then it has worked out where then a year later we go back and it's like, oh wow, like, you know, not everyone that came the first time is back, but then now they brought their friends. So it's double the size. And that, you know, and it kind of has just been a very, well, yeah, like Matt said, a lot of a big organic way of building. And then the goal is do everything we can at the show and with everything else in the brand that, yeah, you came for that one show, but we want to, you know, grab you and now follow along for everything we do.
Even make you a lifelong fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's like long term, what you were saying, I think it's, you know, the short, long term, doing the same thing, but bigger venues, more music, growing the music side for sure, growing the touring side, growing the brand side. And then 5 years down the line, 10 years, I think it's just almost, you know, by that time we'd be reacting to, not reacting ideally, but, you know, seeing where opportunities arise and, you know, jumping on them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think like you guys hit on, and it's awesome to see, it is focusing on the organic and original growth from actually engaging with your fans, giving them more than they expect, giving them the best experience rather than trying to do it inauthentically. That's awesome. And I think that's what gets people to come back over and over and tell all of their friends about it.
And I think that's something like we sometimes kind of say, like, there's no rules. And, you know, there's kind of the traditional standards and practices. And if you look back, you know, certain DJs kind of, you know, and nothing against them, but like, you know, they're kind of, there's the process of you release a song, you do X, Y, and Z. But like, again, going back to the kind of entrepreneurial thing, there's no reason why not do your own thing? Why not
go bigger?
It's
basically a video
game. Yeah, like, like, it's such a, being it, you know, being that it's kind of a creative industry and you know, you're kind of just doing it on your own. Like, there are, you know, once you're, I guess once you're tied more to a label or, you know, there's certain things that, of course, you know, you can't do anything you want to do, but when you're starting out and when, you know, like, it just, if you have an idea and no one's ever done it, like, that, do it, you know? If certain shows get marketed, like, oh, okay, here's our marketing plan. We're going to do $100 of Facebook ads and then we are going to do one post on, like, whatever. But then if we have an idea where we can get more engagement and we could get more people there, like, of course, help your, you know, you're only helping yourself. So I think that's been big for us too, is like, not, you know, it's great. We built a great team around us and we love them and they, you know, trust them. But if we could help too, like, we, you know, we don't want to always just kind of like hand off everything.
Yeah. You know, but also knowing how to use your time efficiently is very important. Like, don't do 10 out of 10 things, probably do the 3 out of 10 that are like the most important.
Yeah, I think prioritizing is huge, and it's interesting to see it in the music industry as well. I actually had put something up on my social media platforms, seeing what everyone wanted to hear from you guys in their top questions. So I think I'll spend the last 5-10 minutes going through those, if you're cool with it, some quick fire ones.
Hit us.
Awesome. So how do you pick your songs? What's the process? Is it based off of the year they come out or what mix as well? Like, what's the process for coming up with what songs are included and where you place them?
There's not really a great answer for that. One of the answers is what we can kind of find. Like, the first step in these mixes is just gathering all the material that we're going to use. And then the next step is kind of figuring out what mixes with what. So that first step is literally just going on the internet. And, you know, obviously, yeah, we like to include new songs just because those weren't available for the last mix and now they are. So that's new material we could use. If we're in the car listening to the radio and a song comes out that we haven't included yet, we'll just jot it down and try to see if we could incorporate that. And yeah, I think it's just trying to find a mix of like more current stuff with more of the throwback stuff. So we don't want to do like only throwbacks. We don't want to do only stuff that comes out this year. So it's kind of just finding a mix, but there's not too much of a science of, you know, what specific songs are going to be in it.
Probably better that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, at this point, there have been 16 of them and most of them have between 100 and 200 songs in them. So like, sometimes it's a little scary of feeling like we're running out of stuff to work with. So that, yeah, like I said, like, find, you know, availability sometimes becomes one of the biggest things of what can we find? What can we use that we haven't used before?
Totally. This one I like. This one I only got from one person, but I thought it was a really good question. I'm sure you've been asked it before, but if you could pick any artist, singer, DJ to be your third friend, who would it be?
I think it changes all the time, but I would probably get a singer because that would be sick to kind of feature a singer somewhat consistently. I would say switches a lot. I would say for me, maybe Miguel.
Really? I've never heard of
him. I know. But I pocketed him for future interviews because I was listening the other day and I'm like, I always forget to mention him in interviews and he is just sick.
No, the more classic ones I would think you would say are like Blink-182. I know that's a full band, not one person, but counting that as one. Or like, what's the dude from Death Cab? Ben Gibbard.
Ben Gibbard.
Chance the Rapper. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. I'm still going Miguel. I think he could do hip hop. He could do alt rock. He could do rap. He could do anything. So, yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. How do you guys pick? I mean, I guess this is similar to my first question, but your openings are always so good in the Big Booty mixes. Does that take the most time? Is that the same process of just seeing what fits?
No, that's a good question. That's kind of its own separate thing. Like we kind of, you know, if it's an hour long mix, we kind of treat 58 minutes of that as like, you know, our standard kind of process of how we go about doing it. And then kind of separately, we're focusing on that intro because the intros, at least for the past five or six, kind of require a little more creativity, a little more of our own production that we add to it rather than just a straight mashup type of thing. So for those, we definitely put more time and effort into and kind of think a little bigger picture of like, all right, what's a cool song that can get them, you know, hook people in right away. And then what can we do creatively to kind of
transition it in
and put our own spin on it.
Sometimes we think about it as in like, what would be really cool to start a show off with.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause a lot of times what ends up happening is the intros of the Big Booty mixes, we kind of make a slightly alternate version, but similar. And we use that to start our shows on the road for, you know, for a few months until we kind of have our next one. But also a lot of times, we ask for suggestions. We'll say like, what song do you need here in the next mix or what's the best intro? And I know specifically for Volume 16, using the Willy Wonka song, that was a few people actually DM'd us or tweeted us and said, like, you guys got to use the Willy Wonka song. And like, we had never thought of that, but then we're like, you know what? Actually, like, that's cool. Really cool. And then the goal was trying to figure out, you know, what can we do to kind of put a cool twist on it and transition it into like the rest of the mix.
That's interesting. Because yeah, they're definitely distinct, but they somehow all tie in. So I was just fascinated on that end. And the last big one I want to ask you, this was actually 100% the one that's asked the most. I'd assume it's for copyright or rights reasons, but why pretty much exclusively on the mixes on SoundCloud, not on Spotify?
So they actually are on Spotify right now, but sometimes they get taken down because, I don't know, because a lot of DJs have their, you know, DJ mix show on, but I guess ours just gets a little bit of visibility there, and you know, but it's honestly,
like you.
It's been up for a month now.
So it's actually technically it's a podcast on Spotify. But if you search
Got it. Mix
on Spotify, it should show up under the podcast section. It just the way they're set up, like we can't attach it to our actual profile as like a song.
Oh, I found it. Yeah, it's the 2F mixes section. Right?
Mixes, and then they should all be there listed as...
Wow, that's going to change my life on my Spotify.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a great hack to know. Thank you for that.
And if they ever get taken down, just give a couple days and they should go back.
Cool. Good to know. I'm sure many people will be happy with that answer. So guys, make sure look up the Big Booty Mix. You'll see a 2F Mixes tab and it has all of the mixes right there in a playlist. Before I wrap up, where can people stay tuned with what you guys are up to? Where can they see you? Obviously, you'll be in New York City, January 31st and February 1st at Terminal 5. But where else can people stay updated on your tour and see what you guys are up to?
Yeah, so that tour, that's the Camp Superdope tour. It's us and Matoma doing a co-headline tour, and it's going to be our biggest one yet for sure. It starts up mid-January in Austin, and it goes until mid-March. And so we're pretty much hitting every major, and honestly, some that aren't even major, but big cities all across the US, a couple in Canada. So, you know, wherever you are, we should be at, you know, within a few hours of you.
So go to campsuperdope.com, check out where we're going.
Yeah, but those are going to be our biggest.
Yeah, and then in terms of music, just follow us on Spotify or SoundCloud or Instagram at Two Friends Music, and we will keep y'all posted. We have a lot coming. New music, new remixes, new big booty mixes, a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure when this will actually be aired, but we will
this will be coming out on November probably 11th or 18th. Okay.
Cool. Okay, so yeah, so a couple weeks after this is airing, we have our next single called Good For You, and then hopefully another one or two coming before or around when the tour is starting. But yeah, more originals, more remixes, more big booty mixes, more shows, more everything. 2020 is definitely going to be
a big year,
and we're stoked. We have a show tonight here in Pennsylvania. We have a few, like three or four more in November, and then we actually get to take all of December off to kind of rejuvenate, relax.
That should be nice. You guys going away or just chilling?
A little bit of both. I mean, we're still working and, you know, still got a lot to do in the studio, but taking a break from traveling for shows. We have a couple of family trips, and then, I mean, yeah, we've kind of done this the past two or three years where we kind of are on the road constantly all year, and then December kind of shut it down. And I think that gives us a chance to obviously, you know, regroup and relax, but then that also kind of stepping away from the shows for a few weeks makes it so that when we do start that tour in the beginning of January, like
a little fresher,
we're ready. We're excited. We're taking some time off, and now it makes it that much more exciting to get back into it.
That's awesome. And guys, make sure to check them out. Check out their tour, check out their socials. Tons of cool stuff coming up on that end. Eli, Matt, appreciate you guys taking the time.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jesse.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. As always, go join our community at join.trendsetterspodcast.com, where you can get some exclusive content, including one question per episode that is not aired publicly, only to people that are part of our community, in addition to some weekly advice and news on the marketing and podcasting industry from me. Also, I'd love to hear your questions, comments, concerns, and anything else. So shoot me an email at jesse@trendsetterspodcast.com. And then you can always reach me on my Instagram at jesse.kay11. Thanks so much, and looking forward to the next one.